Grouting and solicitations, and welcome to Flintlocks and Fireballs, where a handful of unexpected side characters will attempt to survive the treacherous voids of Dungeons and Dragons. I am your host and master, Jimothy Chanter, and I am joined as ever by Squintworth, your shoes, young master.
Yes, I'm
Butler.
Young master.
Double G, my parents are dead. The Wonder Horse.
But I don't go on about it.
And Stormy, I think this will play well on TikTok, darling. This is a very special episode. let's go into, I think, going to be marked as bonus content, because I am taking a month to write the next arc. So we're going to be covering at least one incident of what's been going on while the party have been off having their adventures in the Cirrus Citadel.
Are we the C team? Do we even qualify as the C team?
We're the X team.
Yeah. This point is our D-list characters.
Yeah, the X. None of us are men.
So. On that cheerful note, it's a good time for us to, in case there's any important messages, to ask present us, what news from right now? And it's right now. We're still here. I haven't.
Hello.
This isn't a host recording or anything. We're actually here in person.
Hello.
First time recorded in person for a while.
Ages.
So we're doing something dumb. Back to us.
How unlike us.
Hello.
Hi.
It's still us.
Hello.
And it's time to begin Flintlocks and Fireballs. Our land stands on the saber's edge.
Our cities are a powder keg.
Brother chains, brother, no one's free.
A life on land is short, you'll see.
So gather your muskets, gather your spears. We'll plunder the shores of Kelsimir. No dragon, storm, or spell we fear. So come and sail with us, my dear.
Previously, I mean, really, previously, a whole bunch of stuff happened. The party stole Wayne Manor, cut it off from the world, punched holes to various extra-dimensional things. So much happened, and so much broad layout needs explaining, that I'm actually going to hand you over at this point to future Jason for a fuller layout of everything that has gone on. It's future Jason with an attempted summary of everything up to this point. Previously on Flintlocks and Fireballs, the party decided to steal a mansion, Wayne Manor, specifically spelt W-A-I-N, home of Bruno Wayne, the Mothman, who was killed in the Battle of Newmark. They'd previously stolen the property deed for Wayne Manor, but then they decided to actually steal the mansion itself, in a very literal sense, by folding it into a dimensional pocket. This was not without side effects, as they then got trapped in a featureless black void somewhere between Calcinia and a bunch of hidden worlds, which the process of stealing it carved passageways into, with no less than 5 different worlds being linked by Wayne Manor itself. In the process, they also managed to kill and, in a sense, acquire Bruno Wayne's long-serving valet, Squintworth Butler, who became trapped as a ghost after being bisected by the rising wall of darkness when stealing the mansion. Fortunately for the party, far from being a vengeful spirit, Squintworth, affectionately known as Squinty, seems convinced that everyone is young Master Wayne, and consequently is now a superpowered ghost butler. And very, very easily confused. The party went out on a series of adventures to recover the necessary pieces to restore the mansion, and also on the last of those five little adventures elected, since it involved flying, to leave their pet behind. Stephen the chicken, who I've only just remembered is a thing, and we do not address during this episode because none of us remembered as a thing, but also Stormy Darling, the lightning tiger cub. The party then end up going on a quite protracted adventure through a whole other little rabbit hole of a setting, the Cirrus Citadel, the long-lost retreat and legacy of sorcerers. But if you want to find that story out, go listen to the previous 40 episodes or so of Flintlocks and Fireballs. For today, what's important to remember is that this whole time, Stormy, Squintworth, and at least one other character related to Bruno Wayne have been left for an indeterminate amount of time in Wayne Manor, which is a mansion stood on a chunk of earth and grass, increasingly dying grass, that was stolen from the world and is now hanging in an endless dark void, save for a handful of passageways connecting it to other worlds. The only light source are the mage crystals inside the manor. I actually made a map. It is a paper map, unfortunately, but it was a simple map that for the players, that which they will reference during this episode, and it's based off the map of the mansion from not the game Clue, or Cluedo, if you're English, but the 20th century film Clue, starring Tim Curry, amongst others. It's quite fun. There's a billiards room, a conservatory, a lounge, a hedge maze, a number of, at least two secret rooms, including Bruno Wayne's stables, and I think 14 secret passageways, because I had the party roll for them. Anyway, that is more than enough exposition, and I'm out of time. So, back to you, Past Jason. Well, gee, Warbit Little Willikers, I hope that was that I felt something in there.
Otherwise, that's a weird pause.
Yeah.
Have we forgotten last time?
And that it was a useful summary.
Good luck if we didn't fill it in.
In terms of a more immediate summary of the current situation for you all, and to quickly introduce our characters, we have our three forgotten heroes on the floating island upon which Wayne Manor has been left in the void. We have respectively, there is Stormy Darling, the lightning tiger, a growing purple-furred lightning tiger cub with dark purple and light purple stripes, and notably a pair of lightning bolt-esque patterns along their shoulder blades, from which they may arc lightning.
I am becoming alarmingly large.
Yes, at this point, Stormy is now larger than a Maine Coon, approximately the size of a large dog.
Great Dane, are we talking?
Not quite Great Dane yet. Mm. By the time the party...
Like a Labrador, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah, by the time the party get back into... get back and, like, the next arc really gets underway, Stormy is going to getting quickly closer to Great Dane size.
Excellent.
So Stormy is certainly growing... growing large. Fortunately, in your new domain, which you've begun to explore, you have also a not very effective servant.
Young master!
She has left me with
your shoes, young master!
indeed. Amongst the many reasons to be growing increasingly resentful over the 5 days since the big one, the tall one with the hair, vanished.
More champagne!
You have found, at this point, almost all of the secret passageways, which you are able to traverse.
Just looking for nap spots.
Half of which cannot be traversed by our third character, because they were designed well more for humans, and you are able to climb ladders and fit through smaller spaces. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to rehash what Future Jason has established, especially in terms of what all the rooms are, though I will note that the control room, which has become one of your favourite nap spots, because of its cushioned rotating chair.
Warm keyboard.
And functionally warm keyboard, because it's for...
Warm 1700s keyboard.
Common thing that was had.
Yes, yeah. because Mothman arranged a series of speaking stones that were connected to the whole house, allowing him to listen in to anything that might be happening and send messages by tapping on them. And by sleeping on them, you can send meows and purring to the entire house as well.
Yeah, they should all know how good a nap I'm having.
Yeah.
Well, Stormy does not talk. She talks in meows. This is me iterating. Yeah.
It is, I'm going to establish at this particular moment as well that, I'll establish this when we come to our third character, because the second character, of course, is none other than Squintwith Butler, affectionately known as Squinty, who was already getting on years and maybe going a little senile before he was bisected by a slice of dimensional magic. And reformed as a ghost. Since then, Squinty is especially at right angles to reality, but can now phase through walls and move incredibly fast. But yeah. Suddenly seems convinced that a lot more people are young Master Bruno Wayne. And as to what certain basic objects are. However, with repeated meowing, he is at least willing to replace your food eventually.
I am nothing if not persistent.
Yeah. Squinty. You can inexplicably understand all animal languages and possibly all languages by virtue of being dead, but
that's how it works.
But are barely able to effectively communicate in Jovan. That's more just because of you, though. in any special status condition. You also have some secret status conditions that may or may not show up over the course of this particular adventure. pardon me. And of course, there is one third and final member, which is the hero of this story, at least from his perspective, Double G, affectionately known as the Wonder Horse.
Who I, out of character, forgot existed.
Yes.
Yeah, if it was first.
Yeah. Who everyone forgot existed and was down in the stables.
Yep.
Whoops.
I can't actually remember if I even stated whether the horse was still there or not. or if I stated that the horse like vanished. So I'm going to say that if the horse, if I did state the horse vanished at some point,
I came back somehow.
the horse then Double G vanished into one of the secret passageways, and you all just assume the horse got out.
Tracks.
It's it's been like 8 months or something. I don't know. However long.
Longer than that.
2 years, I think.
It's not been 2 years. We did not start the Cirrus Citadel in 2021.
But the house.
The house was ages ago.
The house was the end of 2020. Well, maybe maybe it was. I looked it up.
Might have been 2022.
It was November, I remember.
Or was
that.
The beginning of. No, okay. That was Cirrus Citadel. Anyway, it's not important at this
point.
Wait,
we were doing the Cirrus Citadel for over a year?
Yeah, we were.
We've been in there for ages.
I thought that would last 12 episodes.
We've had the best 12 time.
Months? It's been amazing.
It's not a complaint.
Absolutely.
It's been wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. Okay.
May 2022.
Wow.
Wow. We entered the void. That's when that was when it came out, not when we recorded it.
Oh, well,
we fuck around a lot.
We do.
We also find out.
Yeah, found
only
out a
sometimes.
Lot too.
And then we forget about the horses.
Yeah, okay, well, this explains why I've forgotten about forgotten a lot of the details, including the original layout.
Do not blame yourself. Yeah. It has been a long time.
Including the original layout of Wayne Manor, as I'm sure past me explained, this one's based on the Cluedo house from the movie. Double G, it's been 10 days, it's been a week. Since you heroically returned with your dying friend and companion, the Mothman, from his fateful encounter where he was slain by essentially a bit of shrapnel that was cast off as a side effect from one of that pink goat-horned criminal.
I didn't even
spells.
Know he was there.
Yeah, just it was tragic and definitely villainous and underhanded.
I shall never forget you, Mothman, faithful sidekick.
Not only that, but after conveying your faithful sidekick home and unfortunately being unable to operate the first aid kit effectively because you are a horse that was designed for thumbs.
True tragedy.
You smash all but one of the healing vials in it by accident. And not even on Mothman before it's too late. To add insult to injury, the three criminals at the heart of the consiracy show up.
Whoopsie daisies.
You play dumb and pretend to just be a regular horse.
I'm a master of disguise.
They find they find your sidekick Mothman's body. And the loot his possessions, steal his armor.
Those miscreants.
And then somehow shortly thereafter, seeing your faithful manservant, in that he is a servant and like a human, for the last time in his normal self, the world outside goes black before you can out and take it through the back end, the underground entrance, and make any escapes. And a moment later, some sort of strange pyramid-like totem smashes through the secret through one of the two secret entrances into the stone wall and carves some sort of bizarre passageway from which iridescent moths begin.
There is criminality afoot.
During that time, you discover, while voicing your internal monologue, you happen to mention Squintworth.
Your master!
At which point Squintworth appears in a flash, like through the ceiling, just phasing through the walls, but all ghostly and silver.
I didn't know you could do that.
Let me ring your newspaper.
Roll for newspaper, for whether you get a newspaper.
I do not. That is a 10, actually. So maybe
it's
a 10 intelligence.
No, it's below. It's 10 or below. You get something else. I'm just gonna roll this.
Yeah, so...
Oh, wait, no, that's a 9 anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Squintworth seems to blur away and then blur back a few seconds later, this time going through the secret through one of the two secret entrances, and returns with a bag of sugar. This...
I will nibble it thoughtfully.
This, unfortunately, you discover becomes a repeating theme as you try to get Squintworth to help. You... Notably, though, the three miscreants who venture through here a couple more times and then vanish never only discover the secret passageway to the lounge with the ladder that you can't use. They never found out the secret passageway up to the billiards room, which has nice horse traversable stairs. So you whack that open, get up the top, and then find that those dastards have blocked the entranceway in some manner.
You're clearly dealing with some disturbed minds.
Yeah. Squintworth is utterly unhelpful.
Did you want a game of billiards, young master?
Yes. Can you open the secret passage for me?
I shall fetch your fishing rod.
No, the secret passage, please. Ah.
You acquire a fishing rod, several billiards balls, a door. Squintworth just brings a door down. It's not the secret passageway door.
Just a door.
Squintworth opens several of the other secret passageways and the gate at the front of the mansion. and it is not until on day 10 that Stormy, while perching on top of one of the tables in the billiards room that happened
licking
to have
my
been,
butthole
happened to have been moved by celestial causing just in front of where the secret passageway opens mm-hmm. up that Stormy, you think you hear like a rustling or something and pounce off dramatically, convinced there might be a rat,
mm-hmm.
And thus knock the block, the obscuring table out of the way. Which means, Double G, you hear like a clattering from up top.
My time has come.
Up the top and you kick open the secret door. The part of the wall swings open, Stormy, mm-hmm. and you see... a horse.
Hmm? Meow.
Well, this is somewhat unexpected.
Fun fact. Stormy is a... Stormy understands, but does not speak horse.
Mm.
Gigi, Double G, understands, but does not speak cat. Squinty understands both, but does not speak either. We are working on R2-D2 rules here.
Yeah.
However, Stormy does not... Stormy, what's your intelligence?
Like 6, I think?
Yeah. Gigi, what is your... Dodgy, what is your intelligence?
My intelligence is 18.
Right. So Double G gets an internal monologue that you can understand, and you get...
Meow. Yeah. Right. I will occasionally narrate what Stormy means, but okay. She meows. That's what she does.
Indeed. Suffice to say,
yes.
Whenever Double G is narrating his is pronouncing his internal monologue, you're hearing a direct translation from horse.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what you'd be hearing is.
Yes.
So, you are shocked and astonished by the appearance of. This cat you've never seen, because I don't think Stormy ever went down to the stables.
No,
I didn't. There were sausages upstairs.
Yeah. And this horse you've never seen.
I don't suppose you've seen any intruders around here, have you?
Meow.
Roll a perception check.
That is... What's my perception? Perception is wisdom, right?
Yeah.
16.
Okay. Stormy, you think you actually do hear a sort of rustling from outside, from around the back of the manor, sort of conservatory woods.
I cock my head over to the conservatory.
I have a look over in that direction.
All right. The pair of you clop or paw your way out of the billiards room into the hall and into the conservatory.
Mm.
storming. And I say you kind of get the feeling, you think you see a sort of rustling of the hedges in the hedge maze that you can see from here. Double G, you kind of peer around, you think you see movement in Squinty's flat, and then a moment later you realise you can see, like, the silvery form of Squinty through one of the windows polishing a set hat, polishing a hat. Okay, how would you like to proceed?
Okay, I look over at the slight movement that I'm seeing in the hedge maze, and I turn to Stormy and say, "Well, my faithful feline companion, I think we've got a rat problem."
I would like to go and find a rat because that sounds good for pouncing and maybe eating.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll ask you to roll a stealth check, please, if you are.
I will do cat stealth, yes.
Yes.
All the shoulders.
Stealth is dex, right?
Yep.
So that's 8.
Okay. As you make your way out, your tail you accidentally knock over the hat stand.
Oh! My blood plants! watering.
Squinty is here instantly.
I water the hats and the hat stand.
You carefully rearrange the hats and the hat stands into a planter-like arrangement and begin.
And I do not water them with water.
Roll a d20, please.
11.
Okay, so that means you get something from the dining room instead.
Finest port.
And you begin watering the hats with port.
Extremely expensive port. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, so while that is happening, Stormy,
yes.
You begin making your way towards the hedge maze. While Stormy is investigating the hedge maze, is there anything you would like to do, Gigi? And I mean, I guess I know what you're doing, Squinty.
I'm watering the plants.
I think I'm just going to do a quick circuit of the outside area to check for any intruders.
Okay. So we're going to go Stormy first.
Sure.
And then I'm going to get you to do a check. So Stormy, as you pad towards the hedge maze, you can see previously there was a huge hole that punched through a bunch of the hedges and then sort of landed in the ground and dug a tunnel under the centre of the hedge maze, which you possibly even can't remember if Stormy went to the City of Golden Law or not. I don't think she did.
She went somewhere and then came back.
Yeah.
Might have been to the City of Golden Law.
Yeah, so you may or may not have even been
through this.
There's
the whole thing where she was clinging to Celestia's back while they were climbing across the thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, okay, maybe you were then.
Yeah.
Well, Stormy then has, you recall there being a passageway there. You can't see it now. In fact, the hedge maze, despite having been essentially ruined by a big central channel being carved into it, has now seemingly regrown in a different sort of configuration. Blended in with the
suspicious.
With the privet hedges are now thick tangles of vines and roots, and interestingly, like fruit-like fruits, gourds, and so on that are coming off the vines. And again, you're seeing that sort of rustling from towards the centre. So how would you like to kind of investigate this? How do you want to proceed?
I'd like to try and find my way to the rat.
Okay.
Smell for rats and find my way.
All right, you can try and go through the hedge maze.
Yes,
An intelligence
very clever.
Check, please.
That is, that's an 11.
Okay, well, you find something. The hedge maze.
Is it a rat?
The hedge maze, you haven't been into the hedge maze in several days because you've had other better places for napping in. But you do get a little turned around by it being, but as you get to where you think you remember the route going to the centre, you reach an unexpected dead end. Where there was, you think, a passageway, there is now a huge, for want of a better term, almost like a flower. It's got big petals. They're like green at the edges and serrated, kind of like flower petals slash leaves. But in the center, it's quite pinkish, yellowish in appearance. They sort of curve into the center where there's like a little pit. And coming out of it, like the stamen of a flower, is a little stalk with what appears to be a very bright, glowing sort of bulb, like a little fruit or something that seems to vibrate a little bit in place.
That looks like a very exciting cat toy, and I want it. So I'm going to pounce for it.
Oh, dear. Okay.
I want to play with it.
No, you pounce at it.
It's moving.
You bat the cat toy.
Very exciting.
Let's not kill the pets while they're away with it.
Pounce at it. Sort of. It thwaps. It makes a little jingle jingle sound. And
like jingles as well.
Yeah,
better.
I mean, and roll the deck.
Celestia would have jumped for it, let's face it.
Five.
Oh boy. So this is gonna get I'm gonna say then, can I please have I guess it's a strength check from you, because you don't
quite
exactly
strong.
Have, because you don't have athletics.
Oh, 23.
Nice. Okay. So, good news, bad news. The bad news is that as you bat the thing, you are not quite fast enough as you feel the air move around you, and you realize that the petals of the flower are suddenly slamming inwards, preparing to entrap you, and you realize they're actually glistening with like some sort of glistening in some way. They have got like some sort of liquid on the inside.
Oh no!
You are caught in the Venus cat trap.
Dang.
When I say Venus cat trap, I want you to kind of imagine like a mix between like a Venus flytrap petals and the petals of the Demogorgon from Stranger Things.
Okay,
with a cat toy in the middle that is very tempting.
Yeah, with like an anglerfish-esque cat toy.
Oh boy, what a combination.
Oh yeah, so you take some damage.
It's fun, I've got over half of Celestia's hit points.
Wow.
Oh no, Celestia.
So you take 10 points of bludgeoning damage.
Mm-hmm.
And a further... Wow, they rolled high. 8 points of acid damage.
Oh god, okay. So I'm just doing maths. Yeah, got you. Cool.
The good news is, with an 18 on effectively your athletics check...
Oh, it was more than that, wasn't it?
Sorry, 22. On your athletics check.
I think it was 23, actually.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
19,
you
yeah.
burst out of the petals, forcing them aside, and scrabbling to freedom.
Fur huge.
Like especially so from an electric from a lightning cat.
Yeah, I picture that she puffs up when she does
lightning. Yeah, like static.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
I'm gonna say you can take an attack if you want. Because
yeah, I could do.
Yeah,
as lightning.
Yeah, all right. Roll an attack, please.
So that is 12.
Okay. So that. Like that might not have hit, except that as you break free and sort of hiss, the petal seems to like part now closed apart from where you burst out, rears up, and you can see that this is one of like 5 of these Venus cat trap flowers that are emerging from a massive, shambling sort of central stalk.
Uh-oh.
A morass.
A mound, might you say?
Yes.
Would you perhaps describe
it? A mass of, like, vines and roots.
Oh, dear.
And as the lightning, as the two arcs of lightning strike outwards, it raises up a pair of vines to catch them. And your arts of lightning channel into the tips of the vines like some sort of like spark plug type thing. Well, it's not a spark plug, but like you know, like a
lightning rod.
A lightning rod, yeah, a pair of lightning rods. And you see the whole plant begin to shiver and grow more animated and energetic.
run.
And at this point, you burst into a run. As you are barreling out of the maze, I'm going to step back a moment. Can I ask you to roll an investigation check for me, please?
Sure. My equine senses are tingling.
That's
natural 20.
Which, you know, honestly, like, even if you'd rolled lower than that, might have worked because that just means that your result is 30. why did I give a horse expertise?
Yeah. In investigation of all things.
So, you find quite a few things. First of all, as I'm sure I actually forgot to mention this on your earlier perception check, mm-hmm. Stormy, but you would have smelled, you have a sense of smell as well, yeah. And mm-hmm. Quite a good sense of smell. So in addition to the rustling, you would have smelled an oddly fruity floral scent, which now makes a lot more sense, yep. Coming from the maze, as well as a strange undertone of oil and metal, of all things. You take you pat around, and it's worth mentioning now that everything is in darkness. The house is well lit because there are, you know, because Wayne Manor was wealthy, and there are dwarf crystals and made stones lighting up the entirety of the manor, which means that it is also the only source of light. Light spills out of the windows, and everything else is in darkness. So, the previous sort of lawn around the grounds of Wayne Manor was thick with grass. Some of the grass is surviving, especially close to the windows, but it gets thinner and thinner and more dead as you go out. And therefore, the ground is, especially in the outskirts, is quite muddy. Fun fact, actually. How is it muddy? How are these things still getting water? As part of your investigation, Jake, you discern this. Interestingly, it appears that small rivulets of water are coming out of the hedge maze, possibly from the center, if you were to make a guess. And like pooling, not stagnantly, but with a gentle current around around the outside of the hedge maze. It's not quite fully developed a moat, but it could get there in time. One of the reasons it hasn't developed a moat is that you can see that the little streams are running off the edge of the island.
I will go have a look.
You peer down, you see the water kind of like sprays down and sort of spreads outwards until it kind of almost becomes like a fine mist that you can barely see now that all the light's gone. Roll an intelligence check.
Okay.
With your plus four modifier.
That's a 7.
Sadly, even with your genius level intellect, you're not sure what's going to happen to that water. Maybe it will just fall forever. Maybe it'll eventually convection currents will carry it up and it'll condense. There'll be a fine rain here someday.
I don't know how much my understanding of the water cycle
is. Is horse.
Still horse. But it's still horse.
Yeah. You vaguely feel like you might have read something along those lines in the library at some point.
Yeah, self-taught.
Awesome. Sure, why not?
you read, you can't write, but you have, you know, you've designed various gadgets for your own usage.
I can draw.
You can draw with a hoof, like in large, or like, you know, just like large
with a paintbrush in my teeth.
Yeah.
Aww.
Speaking of which, actually, which is why you have, I should introduce this, several gadgets, most of which you do not currently have, and are scattered around elsewhere in the mansion. Amongst your many tools, the only ones that you actually have on you were the ones you were wearing during your fateful final mission.
The ice shoes.
which are designed for working for moving on ice. They have extra grip, little sharp bits, that you can move freely over difficult terrain with them.
Yeah.
And also,
was really bad when Mothman died.
Yeah.
It would make sense you'd be wearing them.
Yeah. And also, they're treated with an alchemical substance that deals additional cold damage on a successful attack. They are used once per. Just for the sake of it, can you please roll me 1, 2, 3, 4? Can you roll me a d20 five times, please?
Okay. First one's a natural 20.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, we're going to get back. We'll come back to that because that's an interesting one.
Okay. Second one is a 17.
Okay.
Third one, a 3.
Okay.
Fourth one, a 7. And a 6.
Okay. So I'm going to make reference to these when you enter different rooms.
Started strong, but there was a fall off.
You've only been into the billiards room, the conservatory, and the hall up to this point.
Yeah.
Which are none of which are the what are immediately relevant to this, which is a good thing for me to have checked.
Well, in order to get outside, would I not have had to have gone through either the kitchen or the conservatory?
You went through the conservatory.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. So, you have not travelled through the atrium. All right. I guess... Okay, I'm going to... Well, one of these is actually in the stables. So I'm going to establish that up to this point, you've known where these are, but you've not equipped them... because you need someone with hands to put them on.
Yeah.
And they're a bit dangerous, and you're a bit... And given how Squinty's been operating, it's quite been enough of an emergency to risk it. But your wither rockets are down in the stables.
I need someone to equip my wither rockets.
Shall I brush your teeth, young master?
No, could you maybe put the caltrops in the saddlebags? The caltrop saddlebags.
You don't know. None of you know where the caltrop saddlebags are. You'll need to discover them first. But yes, you can at some point ask Squinty to try and equip, or someone to try and equip the wither rockets. Otherwise, they're just hanging on the saddle, like on the sort of horse equipment stands.
Yep.
I can't remember the term. Down in the stables. Now, other things you find in your investigation check, because I got real sidetracked by that. Beyond a cursory investigation to the water cycle, you also find footprints. And I mean footprints, beyond just the paw prints for that scatter that Stormy has left everywhere. You find 3 sets of footprints. I'm going to call these sets A, B, and C.
Okay.
As far as you can tell, there is one of whatever is making print set A.
Okay.
You think two of whatever is making set B. And you're pretty sure at least a dozen of whatever is making print set C. And they are recent by the looks of them. I mean, as far as you can tell, it's not like there's any weather around here. Prints at A are obviously humanoid footprints, and they're shod as well. From the look of it, using your expert forensic skills, honed from countless years working with Mothman, you are able to determine that whatever is wearing these is wearing shoes, but like shoes of the variety where it's more like leather foot bindings than like really well-made...
Like moccasins.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like not really... You've not... There's not the sort of like hard-soled, well-made boots that Mothman was used to wearing.
Size 14, no gaiters.
They're also very deep in the mud. Whatever wore them was very heavy and it had a very wide tread. Widely spaced feet, if this was like some sort of very heavy set orc, then they were walking with their legs like spread very wide,
like they shot themselves.
I was gonna go like, you know,
my brain went like a cowboy,
yeah,
but you know,
yeah. Cowboy, one of those movies, but yeah,
same
that
too.
two kinds of people.
All right, maybe they were wearing low slung trousers.
Mm. So whoever this is, heavy, wide feet. Wide steps.
Recently shat.
The feet on set B are confusing, and I'm going to come back to those.
Okay.
The set C feet make almost more sense, but they are very small. Interestingly, they at first you think they might be bird prints, but in that they have that same sort of like a spur on the back and toes out on the front. But then you realize that unlike a bird with three or very rarely four toe type things at the front, these have five toes at the front, it would seem, and like some sort of spur at the back. And the way that they seem to be walking is a lot more reminiscent of a biped walking. I mean, like, you know, so you get the feeling that if these are birds, they're more like chickens or turkeys or something. That they're clearly flightless and walking rather than occasionally like landing and taking off.
Aha. Uh-huh. Foul play.
That was dreadful. Well done. Oh. Good work.
Oh.
How is he no one's dad in real life? We don't know.
There's about a dozen of these, and they seem to be small, probably about the size, maybe about the size of a turkey.
Okay.
Large for a bird, but yeah, small compared to you. Footprint set B appears to come from, you think, two different groups, and I'm using the term footprint loosely.
Mm-hmm.
They appear to have at least five limbs, and they seem to use all of them for movement, because based on what you are seeing, the trails of slobber, oddly enough, on the ground, whatever you would guess that whatever this is, it does not have at all bipedal body shape. This thing, you almost feel like you're kind of picturing something cylindrical with limbs that extend out from it in every direction that just rolls along.
I hate it.
And the sort of prints that it makes are reminiscent of something which has like where the end of its leg is some sort of like foot with like a central pad and four very flexible thick fingers or claws that extend outwards in almost like cardinal directions.
Gross.
Yeah. You think this thing could grab, can move, can clearly move on it, but it's whatever the hell these things are, they are
gross.
Yeah, and probably similarly sized to that cat.
Oh dear.
Some kind of multi-limbed gastropod.
And at this point, as you are trying to perceive this, as you come to these conclusions, there's a sort of rustling sound as you see several huge, like, flower-like petals rear up out of the center of the maze, and a bruised and, like, actually missing some fur in places, like look at a slightly bloodied looking cat, Stormy bursts out of the hedge maze.
Meow.
And at this point I feel like we need to, now that that's happened, this is a good time to roll initiative.
Yeah. That's appropriate.
It's a 5.
11.
1. I have a modifier of +5, but it's a natural 1, so...
Okay.
Oh, no.
So, sorry.
I'm busy watering.
So, that was a
plants.
1 from Squinty. Sorry, what was Stormy's?
11.
Okay. And 11 from Stormy from Double G?
5.
Okay. 5 from Double G. And... okay, that's and a much higher roll from the Venus cat trap.
Oh no.
And just for fun,
just Just for fun? What? No, I know. We don't want the fun, thank you. Whatever the fun is.
There's no fun allowed at this table.
All right, so I'm going to say that at this moment you're all just outside the hedge maze now, and not bothering with the neat paths of the maze, the Venus cat trap, I'm going to write VCT down as my note here, burst straight through the hedge, going for the... Oh, I mean, it can take its... Oh no, it can make two attacks. It's going to go for both of the meaty targets that it can perceive. So this means that, so we're going to go one against one attack against Stormy, one attack against Gigi. So one of the fly trap one of the cat trap mouth things spreads open.
No.
And is going to make an attack against Stormy. Okay, yeah, that appears to be a hit. Okay, Stormy.
You told me I had plot armor before.
Chomp.
You are quite concerned about the lack of about your sudden lack of plot armor. Mm-hmm. You take I know you don't have any resistances that matter here. So you take an additional 11 points of damage.
Okay.
Yep, there are healing potions located in in different locations in the manor, which is worth noting. Worse than that, yeah, you are the petals are going to try and wrap around you. Can I ask for a strength save, please?
Mm-hmm. No, I was just wondering if any of my lightning reflexes affected anything.
Oh, actually, that's a good point.
They do get disadvantage.
Get disadvantage. Thank you for reminding me, which means I'm going to roll again.
Bizarre.
Okay, that is still... That's a 17.
We'll assume that it was the same. Yeah. Awesome.
Which means that as your fur crackles and it would make you harder to hit. However, as you are captured, as you are ensnared by the devouring petals, it holds you in place. strength save, please.
Cool. Oh no, that's not good. Strength save. That's 7.
Oh no.
Ooh, okay. I'm
fucked.
You are grappled until someone either breaks you out or enough damage is dealt to remove the flower from the fly trap.
Cool.
The cat trap. The second attack will be against Double Team Wonder Horse. Mm-hmm. Ooh, and yeah, that is also a hit.
Oh dear.
Okay, so you take 7 points of combined damage.
Ow.
You are, however, too large for it to envelop.
That's something.
In the petals.
Well, I wouldn't give for my moth barding right now.
Roll a d20, by the way.
Yep. That's a 17.
Your moth barding is... What's 17 on that? Hung up in the atrium.
Oh.
Annoyingly.
So close and yet so far.
Yes. Okay, so... Wow, this is really not the way I expected this to start. I kind of thought you'd get out of the way of the this thing has a really, really bad initiative modifier.
Okay.
But okay, right. So at this point...
Everybody ready for a party wipe?
The next thing that happens is bursting out is you see the door to Squinty's flat open and some odd little creature comes out.
Mm-hmm.
It appears it looks tiny, humanoid, probably about the size of a turkey. With what appears to be silvery metallic skin, but like scaled like a reptile's, cool. with little vaguely reptilian-esque clawed feet, but with five toes at the front and one spur at the back, as well as little opposable thumbs, movable hands. And tiny little twisted metallic horns. It's also wearing tin pot armor. And when I say tin pot armor, I literally mean like it looks like it's gotten a pair of like just like metal plates that were like dinner plate type plates, and has some holes punched in them and held together with wire. Serving, you're not sure if this is so much armor as if it's armor or clothing or some sort of modesty covering. And it's also holding what is definitely just like a carving fork. A fork carving fork. The kind you use to like stick into.
The two-tined ones.
Yeah, the two-tined ones.
Yeah.
You don't know if it brought that or if it's stolen it from the kitchens. It sees you, points, and shouts out,
Hey! Hey, everyone! There's creatures here!
But tinier and more metallic.
Well, I love it.
Oh, master!
I'm going to say that is the imp's turn. The imp has raised the alarm.
Oh, dear.
Oh, noes.
Okay, this brings us to Stormy. Stormy, you are presently in the grip of the Venus Catrap.
I bite it.
All right.
Bite it so it lets go.
You get two bite attacks.
I want to bite it lots. Mm-hmm. That is an 18.
That's a hit.
Okay. And 2d6. I need two of them. That's a 14.
It's 14 points of damage.
Yeah. Good roll.
Roll your second attack, please.
Ah, shit. That's a 9.
That is not enough, however.
Boo.
Still, you are able to deal enough of a... You do, however, from the inside begin clawing with your claws and like biting into the soft sort of central portion of it, which is particularly unpleasant because it's like trying to digest you at the same time. However,
it does not taste good. I am mad.
It very much does not taste good, but it does cause the creature to convulse as you bite into it. I'm gonna let you make another strength check to try and burst out.
Dice hate me though. Oh my god. What is my strength? That's an 11.
Okay, that's not quite enough. Something, someone else is...
help!
Is, yeah, but you can see as you bite...
I absolutely cannot.
No, definitely not.
You do see the, bit... You can now see from the outside the struggling form of the giant cat. You can call for Squinty.
You're a master!
Squinty, you appear just next to the... to the thing. And you will act last on this round, but
that's going to have been pointless. But I want to see what happens.
Yeah, Squinty is now next to the Venus Cattrap. Okay, you've done some damage, but not enough to force it to eject you. Double G.
Okay. If I've just seen Squinty appear, I'm going to just yell over towards Squinty. We need some weed killer immediately!
Okay.
And I'm going to attempt to kick off the thing that's attacking me.
Okay, I'm going to say you do have the option for a run-up, so you can make this a trampling charge.
Oh, great. Sorry, I thought it was like trying to grab me. Fantastic. All right, I will.
Well, actually, like, it's got quite a long reach and...
Yeah. Sure. All right.
You're outside this space.
I will pull away and get up some speed and attempt a trampling charge. All right. So that's going to be a... Oh, that's pretty good. That's a 23 to hit.
That hits.
Right. Okay. So with just hooves, I do... that's 7 bludgeoning damage, and there's like a pow that appears in midair.
There's a pow, and also a weirdly, the what else appears in the midair is all that's coming to mind is frost.
Yeah.
as your ice shoes activate.
I was about to. Yeah. Okay. So that is.
Oh no. Ooh. Wow.
Okay, that's 13 additional cold damage.
Okay, so 20 damage total.
That's a bad roll.
Yeah, two of those were ones.
Yeah.
And because this is Zuntide. And because this is a trample.
They have to make a strength save DC 14 or be knocked prone.
Cool.
At which point, if they are, I can make another hoove attack as a bonus action.
It doesn't really, like, something like this is...
Does it have prone as a thing?
It's fun fact. Yeah. This thing is not immune to being prone, which is a condition that can happen. So I'm going to say that this thing is like burst forwards, and although it's like, you know, not all humanoid in shape, it is quite sort of... It does have a huge sort of central stalk.
It's like a pot plant that's fallen over.
Yeah, and as you you kick into it, you manage to into it with enough force that it's knocked onto... It kind of it rolls down, tangles up into itself a little bit.
Did you just say, oh no, the begonias?
Yes, that's okay.
The begonias are indeed scattered and smashed up as well. This is like not doing good things for
this is the only bit of like awareness that Sprinty has really had. It's in no way useful.
The only thing. Okay, he's so can I make another attack as a
bonus action? Okay. Right.
Do you get advantage if it's prone?
Yes, you do.
Oh. Thank you for reminding me. Right, yeah, that's going to be a 25.
Okay. Yeah, that hits. Roll damage.
Okay. That's a bit better. Right, that's 12 bludgeoning damage with a crunch.
Ooh, and you get the this also uses the second use of your the second of your four charges.
Okay,
of the have ice
four
shoes.
Hooves.
You have four hooves.
Yep, that's okay.
It was 12, wasn't it?
26 cold damage. That's better.
Like 38 additional damage. Okay.
God, you're the damage doer in this group.
Yeah.
Glass cannon.
Hell yeah.
Massive glass cannon. Like, I'm the closest thing to, like, a wizard you've got.
I can do one
attacks.
Damage.
A whole damage?
And I have a minus 2 to a hit.
Would it be more poison damage if you had some weed killer?
So, at this point, you smash your hooves, your second hoof, into the thick stalk, partly, like, just on the join between the central stalk and the vine that with the flower that is wrapping up Stormy. The vine... So the ice spreads out from it, leaving cracks up the centre of the vine, the central sort of stalk, but also it causes, like, spreading down the one the vine encircling and snaring Stormy, which just goes, like, white and then splinters as Stormy breaks free.
Blam.
So Stormy, you are now free of the Venus cat trap.
Excellent.
Which is looking honestly, like, it's still got like four more of the, like, it's definitely, you know, quite looking like it's taken some hits, but it's still got other petals which do. But I'm going to say, yeah, for the sake of rough gauges, this also takes out a second one of its petal things. It's down to three petals now.
Okay.
Or three flowers.
This is good news.
At this point, it's Squinty, though. I've written that Q like a T, so I got confused. Squinty.
How alcoholic is this port I've got? Just Squinty hasn't got a clue what's going on, but is this alcoholic enough to be flammable?
Hold up. Let me just check with the port percentage.
Typically around about 20.
Between traditional port wines today are... Oh, okay. Apparently stronger than traditional wines. I'm going to say...
Port flammable?
No, it's below. Yeah. It has to be above 40. Now, the question is whether you've got the port. Roll luck check, because you might have picked up the brandy instead.
Ah! 18.
Hey.
This is not port.
Excellent.
This is the Sulian XO stuff.
Oh boy.
And strong, it's 77%.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you got a Molotov right there.
Bubbles for your bars, young master. I'm gonna pour them over the plan.
I mean,
at this point, it's going to do nothing because there's no fire. Yeah. But it's a start.
Yeah. Give me.
Alcohol is not good for plants.
It's not.
No.
It's,
I don't know how to do anything to this one.
It is prone. This is sort of technically an attack. So
it's also a magic
attack
plant.
With advantage, please.
Cool. That's a 7.
Okay.
I rolled a 9 and a 1.
Right. So, an interesting thing happens here. You have failed to get... functionally any of this on the plant. What you have, however, now created is, like, a pool of high-proof alcohol right in front of the hedge maze. I don't know if this is... Well, you want to draw like a little pool or something in front of the hedge maze with a red pen.
Like one of these?
Just to remind us that it's there. There is now a flammable patch in front of the hedge maze.
Good to know.
I've
got lightning.
Yeah, it's not going to come in use right now, but it might come in use later.
Spark might
I have lightning.
Yeah.
Do have lightning?
Yeah.
Cool. So that is the end of Squinty's turn. It's going to be the start of the next turn.
I'm going to stay right in front of the plant as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pouring the young master a bath.
You are indeed pouring the young master a bath.
The young, very plant-like master. Covered in biting mouths.
Okay.
He needs a bath. Then he'll be fine.
Yeah.
So
can I ask... Oh boy, can I ask each of you to please roll me a
d4?
A d4. A d4, where are the d4s? 2!
2!
4!
So that is 8 total. Good to know.
Oh noes.
Alright.
Concern!
All
the concern.
4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So, notice that there's a dastardly turn the music off there. Top of the round, it's still the plant monster.
Mm-hmm.
So plant monster will, I guess, take... Yeah, that's a good point. So Squinty's remained in place. Double G, you're still next to it. You haven't retreated or anything.
Yeah, no, I took a run up and
boom. And Stormy hasn't had a chance to move yet.
No.
So,
I'm not grappled anymore, am I?
No.
I haven't moved.
So it takes half of its movement, its 20 feet of movement, to pick itself back up, sort of, like, it's not so much standing up as untangling itself and righting itself upwards. And let's roll for... How intelligent is this thing? Not that intelligent... but it can now perceive Squinty, and it doesn't really know that, so I guess... Okay, yeah. It's going to divide... It divides its attacks. Wait, no. No, that's a 9, not a 19. All right, well, we're going to find out what happens after its first attack, then.
Mm-hmm.
It brings forward one of its giant plant flowers, mouths and is going to try and and snap it around Squinty. yeah, that's like a 20 to hit.
Yes, that will hit.
Does it hit the dead person?
No.
Does a 20 hit a dead person?
Yes, I think it does.
Yeah.
Okay, so just for fun, I'm going to tell you how much damage it would deal.
Mm-hmm.
For the shits.
Yeah, just for the shits. So it would deal, I believe, that would be 11 points of damage. Now, Squinty, how many hit points do you have?
One!
All right. Roll a d20, please.
Six.
Okay, I'm just going to check the table for what the result of that is. So it swings its flower mouth round, and with and it's six. Okay, and it clamps them right over Squintworth's head and torso.
Uh-oh.
And you see Squinty's form flashes and bursts like a soap bubble in a spray of silvery light. It pulls back its flower maw, and standing there in place is Squintworth's legs and waist, and just like a hovery, little soft glowy field of where the top of the lower half is. Hey, Squintworth's upper half has been destroyed.
Oh dear.
No. Squinty, in as much as it needs to be relevant, you are now blind with 10-foot blind sight. You can still hear, and you cannot do anything that requires the use of hands or a head.
This is fine.
So fine.
Kick it in the nuts.
Okay, so you at this point, and I guess, well, I mean, I guess it considers its opponent defeated, so it's going to go against the one who just kicked it for a fuck ton of damage instead. Yeah, that is a 14, which I think you've not got the Wonder Armor on.
No, I don't.
No, you need to get the Wonder Armor. So
I really do.
How many hit points have you got left?
11. Twelve.
Okay, this is potentially going to get quite interesting.
Oh,
are we going to find the corpse of a horse?
No, the plant will have eaten it.
Oh no.
So, at this particular point, then, so you are reduced to 0 hit points.
Oh no, I can't help at all.
None of us can.
We've got a butt and a cat, by way of help.
This is fine.
Okay. Well, this is going to get very exciting.
We're going to get the ghost of a horse.
Ghost horse.
Yes.
Okay. You are down to 0 hit points. As it picks you up in its mouth. In its flower mouth, and finding it cannot swallow you, throws you. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Can you roll a d8 for me, please?
D8. 3.
Okay, so, I don't know how it managed this, or how you managed to achieve this, but it flings you up, and through one of the upstairs windows.
Oh god.
As a horse smashes through the gorgeous bay window of the upstairs hallway toilet.
Wow. that's hilarious.
You all see where Gigi ends up.
I mean, I don't.
Cool.
Or at least Stormy does. Maybe you Squinty might. Does.
Not right now, I don't know.
Squinty might see where Gigi is, depending on what happens.
Yeah.
Right now you hear the sound of the upstairs, of one of the upstairs windows smashing at least. But Yeah, we'll see what happens there. So currently Gigi is out cold in the upstairs toilet.
Oh, no, this is like really bad all of a sudden.
Gigi, roll a luck check, please.
Luck check, okay. 9.
Okay, there is not a healing kit in this room.
Dang.
I mean, sometimes you'd expect there to be one in the toilet, so...
Alright, let's... let's go for this then. So,
this horse might go out in a blaze of
glory. Yeah, horse really might well go out in a blaze of glory. Okay, at this point then...
I don't know how you heal someone when you're playing a cat.
7 imps show up on the scene.
You've got lightning defibrillator.
I do.
Yeah, 7 imps show up, and the like 7 more of these metallic little figures carrying different large pieces of cutlery. I'm going to say that they're going to right now they're all currently outside the house. And they've been attracted to the back. So I'm going to say that sort of 3 of them come from around just past Squinty's hat flat. 3 of them come around from just past the conservatory. They've taken their action to get here. They're not, and they're waiting for orders or for more information as to what to do. But they are now a known quantity. Stormy, you're not being swallowed by a monster.
I'm not. How nearly dead is it?
Well, it's still got 3 of its 5.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna run. I don't have that many hit points. I'm gonna run. I want to try and find my horse friend.
Okay. So you know your way around the.
He said there were rats, and like I'm holding him to that promise. Yeah. So
okay.
I'm gonna go find him.
Did you see the window I was thrown through?
You did see the window. Yes. He was thrown through. So here is where we consult our loving map. So horse friend is in the upstairs toilet.
Yep.
That can be reached from if you can get to either the library, really any of the rooms adjoining the upstairs hallway, you might be able to get to him with your full movement. Technically, I'm going to say, what's your move speed? 40 feet?
I think it's 30, but let me check.
40.
40, sorry. Yeah. Okay. I am fast.
We're essentially dashing. You can get to him, I think, potentially. The easiest way would be to go through one of the easiest ways might be to go through the kitchen and drawing room. I think this is drawing room, dining room,
yeah,
and then up the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could try and go in through a different route if you want to take one of the secret passageways.
I will go the quickest way.
Okay.
I don't have any possible way of understanding what a healing potion is or anything like
you
that.
You
do.
You have seen Celestia use them.
Am I clever enough to make that leap?
I think you are clever enough to realise that the glowy brandy-looking thing, the glowy amber thing.
She takes them when she's sad.
Yeah.
And then she can once more feed me.
Yeah.
Cool.
You, like, you...
I want rats. Where are my fucking rats, is what
I'm
saying.
You have an animalistic understanding of healing, and that you understand injury, not injury, you can put that sort of stuff together. Cool, which means, can I ask you for 2 luck checks, please?
Okay. First one's a 5.
Okay, next one.
Oh, it's a 6.
Oh no.
This horse is going to die.
Okay, I guess you get one more, because there's still the hallway.
Okay. 19!
All right. And a 19 is good, because it means it's high enough that you don't necessarily need... that doesn't necessarily require... Squinty, or someone with hands.
Oh God!
So I will say that with your movement, you are able to burst in through the kitchen, where you see in the kitchen as you are bursting past, you see a pair of little MP creatures, kind of inspecting the silverware and choosing and picking new pieces of equipment for themselves. As you burst through the drawing room, you see what appears... Sorry, it's the dining room. You can see there is some sort of fucking nightmare monster. Like, some sort of... honestly, one of the weirdest fucking things you have seen in some time. It looked... I mean, it looks like... actually, not the very weirdest. You're going to see weirder. But it looks... It's humanoid. Looks kind of like the bipeds you're used to. Mm-hmm. But it is... it's massive. Not in, like, sort of giant form massive, but, like, bloatedly, obscenely corpulent. Like, unnaturally, like...
super chub.
Unnaturally super chub. Like, covered in... it's massive. It's covered in boils. It's wearing, like... armor/clothing that's similarly made from like pieces of like metal and plates that are riveted together. And it's got a big old forge hammer on the table next to it. But it's not using it at the moment. At the moment it's shovel, it's got a big like piece of ham from the pantry in its hands, and it's chowing down on it. This is the thing that with the big feet. And it's surrounded by a cloud of flies, including horse flies. Insects and mosquitoes, all of which seem to be made from tiny, shiny, silvery metal.
Interesting.
You ignore that thing and race on past it into the hallway and up the stairs. And tucked away into a corner, you're out of movement this turn, so you can't use it. But tucked away into a corner where you can see it, is one of those little vials of amber liquid that the one with the hair, the tall one with the hair, has.
She uses them when she's sad, and then she can feed me again.
She had like 10 of those, and she doesn't know that she won't know for some time that she's lost all but one of them. But you know that she left 9 of them in the house, and you've been like batting them around as toys.
They glow and they make clinky sounds.
Yeah.
They're fun.
And it's sudden, and you can also see the very, very injured form of your horse friend who promised you rats. In the bathtub, like splayed through, shattered. The porcelain is shattered because a horse landed in it.
Oh, I was pouring a bath.
Okay, I mean, that's yours.
I mean, yeah, I put it in my mouth and go up to my horse friend.
Yeah. The next person to act is Gigi, so roll a death save, please.
Okay. Okay, 14. One
okay,
success.
That is
hoping
a success.
Hoping for a 20.
It's a success, at least.
I'll take it.
Mm. Okay, so Gigi...
it's not a 1.
Yeah.
Not a 1. Okay, the next one to act is the chonky guy who calls out, "Hey, we're not alone in here. Get the eaters. We gotta clear this place out so the broker can take it."
Oh no.
So the creature isn't going to make an attack this round, but is going to use his action to start calling more minions into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is going to get interesting. Squintsworth, roll a d20.
6.
Where? Okay, which room is that?
The master bedroom.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Squintsworth.
You're not that far away,
you
then.
You can still hear, you can still feel through your legs. And then, silvery light coalesces together in the master bedroom. And Squintsworth reappears, missing his legs. It's just like... like, again, shimmering line at the waist. The upper half of Squintworth Butler reforms at the start of the turn. So, I guess both parts of you can act. Your upper half has a speed of 5 feet, and you cannot use your essentially, not quite teleport, but blurring speed type ability until your halves are rejoined. However, since you are in the master bedroom, please roll a luck check.
15.
Okay. Right, none of the horse weapons are in here. But you do spot, tucked into a corner, you have identified another of the healing potions. I'm just going to mark this with like a little plus sign.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, like, your legs are aware of what they're aware of. Your torso is your body. Your upper half is aware of what it's aware of. You are functionally two allied but independent entities, in that you don't exactly, you know, you don't have, as it were, brain to leg communication going on right now.
Right.
There's no sources of fire anywhere around, are there?
Absolutely, there are.
Fireplace in the master bedroom, surely.
Yeah, there's fireplaces in all of the bedrooms.
This is for fancy people.
Yeah,
we need so many fireplaces in here.
You can even travel through one of those to get to the lab. And depending on the route you take, you can easily get to the dining room from here, apparently, because what fucking madman designed the secret passageways in this house? None. No one. We rolled for them. So yes, there's I guess it's basically a mechanical tinderbox type. We've developed matches exist, don't they?
Yeah, matches.
Yeah, there's a box of matches here.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be the old phosphorus type, yeah. Wouldn't they?
That's no good up in the bedroom. That's too far to be of any use. There's no one else in the bedroom right now.
There's currently... Actually, that's a good point. Let's find out if there's any entities that have reached the bedroom. Oh, there is something in the bedroom.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. What's in the bedroom?
And it's specifically something. In addition to the many accoutrements in the bedroom that are available there. Actually, you know what? There is a thing here, and in a moment, remind me, I'm going to ask you to roll an intelligence check, because in life you knew the location of all of the traps in this house. Whether you can remember them now is an entirely different matter. Okay, so you see a horrifying sort of creature. It is indeed broadly spherical in its central body. Except that the and it does have 5 thick kind of muscular limbs, like quite octopoid in the sense that you're not sure there's any bones in this thing. With 4 pointed like finger tendril things at the ends of them, with sharp claws. But the main threat, in addition to the eyes just dotted around its central trunk, is the fact that it appears to be split in two and just filled with teeth. And it's slobbering all over the carpet. And sort of, as you appear, goes... You're not sure how well it's perceiving you, if at all, but this thing is... It certainly seems to be perceiving you and perceiving something. Please roll an intelligence check.
I've rolled a 1, which is a minus 2.
You definitely do not recall the location or nature of the trap in this room.
Well, clearly someone's dog has found its way in here.
Is there any like random chance that I could do it by accident if I'm trying to do something else?
I'll say you could if you can roll a d20 and if it rolls a 20 when you're doing whatever else you want.
No.
So yeah, what do your two parts want to do?
I mean, the legs are gonna head to, I guess, towards where the young master has gone, which is through the window of the bathroom.
Excellent. I guess so. This is, it's not really a dex check exactly. It's more like a wisdom check. Given that you're sort of operating on like perception, because you can move directly easily. Moving isn't the problem; it's stopping.
Yeah. Right.
That's a five.
Okay.
It's going great.
We are going to go for... So can I ask you to roll again? I'm going to decide whether you under or overshoot accordingly.
Eight.
All right. Your legs end up in the downstairs bathroom.
Oh, no.
cool. What does your torso want to do?
Is there anything else in the master bedroom?
Anything that would be in the master bedroom. Yeah. So there's like chamber pots, there's the fireplace, there's matches, like...
Oh, young master's horse, what are you doing in the lounge? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the creature. Allow me to fetch your saddlebags.
I'm
going to start very slowly heading into... I mean, do I know where any of the horse's stuff is stored?
I mean, it would be stored in the stables.
Yeah, it would be.
Which you would normally get to from the billiards room or the lounge. So I guess that's enough to float in. You could either float down into the ballroom or out into the hallway.
Well, I think that I'm in the lounge.
Because
I've just said that what's the master's horse doing in the lounge? So I guess right. I'm going for the secret passageway to the stables that isn't there.
Which would be at the north end of the room, so you float out into the hallway very slowly.
5 feet.
Wow. 10 feet, you can dash.
Well, 10 feet.
You successfully get out into the hall and are thus visible.
Is it without your legs you're extremely slow?
Yeah, my legs are downstairs at the moment.
Yep.
Okay.
I love him.
That brings us to the end of this clusterfuck of a round.
Everything's great. Shut up.
Oh, it's brilliant. Okay, so...
it's going so well.
I'm just going to roll... You know what? Can I ask the three of you to roll me a luck check, please?
Yeah.
7.
4.
11.
Okay, collectively that was not high, which means that the vine monster is going to ignore the tiny metal things and try and make its way towards the fleshy things.
No nose.
This thing is fairly tall. But it doesn't move super quickly. So I'm going to say that it manages to get... it clambers forwards to the base of the floor. It's about 20 feet. And then it can climb at half speed. So it then begins wrapping its vines and tendrils into the architectural features, smashing them through windows, and starts pulling itself up. So now this morass of vines is just outside the upper story toilet window where Double G is smashed into.
Oh dear.
I don't suppose this triggers any traps, does it?
Needs to get once it enters the toilet,
right?
Or traps might be able to be activated from within the toilet pointing outwards,
right?
Toilet traps.
Indeed.
Of course.
So that means that...
I mean, don't you have a pit trap in your toilet?
So to speak. Okay, well, the demons then are going to start... I guess I've got a roll in the fucking more beast. Now that I think about that.
Well, this is going great.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun.
Okay. So, the more beast has been rolled in. And we're going to start bringing in some additional... rolling in some additional demons. So,
really? Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. How many are there?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're
so fucked.
Which rooms they come in through. Okay.
The chances of this horse going out in a blaze of glory are actually extremely high.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. Okay, so with the movements that they have, I'm going to say that you can see that the so the various imps that were gathered outside come in through the conservatory in the kitchen and make it as far as the downstairs hall before they run out of movement. There are now. Currently clustered in all in the downstairs hallway, you can see 12 imps.
Oh, wow.
Or at least you will be able to once you are conscious.
That's many imps.
Mm. Mm. Which brings us to... I labelled this Stormy Siege in my when planning this.
Oh, no.
So, Stormy. Yeah, you. It's your turn. You've got a little vial of healing potion.
Cool. I guess I'm gonna. I can't really open it, can I? Can I smash it on the horse?
You smash it on the horse.
Can I just like try and bite it and smash it? Like,
that way? Yeah, yeah, that actually works very well. Okay, horse. So. GG, if I just grab my... I think I might actually have this literally bookmarked for convenience. And if I don't, past me is a bit of a fool.
Oh.
Past me is a bit of a fool, but that's all right.
That's...
Is it the number of dice you need for a healing potion?
Yeah.
2d4 plus 2.
Yeah.
Oh, don't... Oh, no, this is a better healing potion.
Oh, okay. 44 plus 4?
44 plus 4, thank you.
Okay. Greater healing potion.
Yeah,
I suppose I can.
I suppose...
From biting.
Yeah.
I mean, like, are you deliberately, like, biting it into, like, to try and split the effect, or...?
I mean, I don't know if I'm that smart. I'm a cat. I'm just biting it to try and get it on him.
Okay, I regain 11 hit points.
Okay.
Awesome.
No, but if you're able to find another one, I'm working
Love
on
one.
Bonus action rules for taking your own potions.
Right.
Mm.
So you can, it's a bonus action to swallow a potion, to get a potion if you find one for yourself.
Cool.
Fine.
Okay, you don't...
No, master!
Okay, Stormy, you don't have any bonus actions, but your lightning reflexes are now active again. So
yes.
Attacks against you have disadvantage.
They do.
You are also, you still have 40 foot of movement as well. So you can basically, I mean, you could go down into the hall, a downstairs hall, but that is going to bring you into the dozen demons.
Mm.
Otherwise, you can basically make it, I'm going to say, into the hall and then... into any room and maybe through one secret passageway. And in fact, you can now also see Squinty's upper half floating.
The imps are quite small, aren't they?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any, like, climby places I could be on so that they can't get to me? Because my lightning has a 60-foot range. So.
Oh, yeah.
Look at that, 60-foot range.
I think it's 60-foot.
It's 10-foot. You have a 10-foot reach.
No,
it's fine.
Got
which is enough to strike down from on top of wardrobes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say not in the hall. Well, okay. Not in the hall. You could just strike from the balcony downwards, but you've used your action this turn.
Mm. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it
but,
this turn. I'm just wondering if there's any good
there
I can be.
There are in almost every room, like armoires, cupboards, and tall things you can jump off into.
Cool. What's a good room to be in? I don't know. They know where we are, don't they?
Yeah,
I think so. It's fair to say.
And they're in the hall. Are they in the hall?
They're in the hall, downstairs hall. So downstairs they'll come up next turn. I'm playing, guys, listeners. I'm playing fast and rules with certain, at least with certain rules here. And I'm going to play faster and looser with the idea of talking being a free action than usual.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say you can pick up to 2 additional rooms, including the one you are in, and roll to find out what traps are in it.
Okay, cool.
Because this might inform your choice.
What am I rolling?
So it is, you get trap rolls. So, we'll do this toilet first. D8 first for effect.
Okay. 2.
So there is, in this room, a non-lethal trap. Okay. And again for complexity, please.
And again for complexity. 4.
Which is tricky for you, for a horse to operate, but easier for a cat to operate.
Okay.
So I'm going to put. So actually, can you use the red one and just mark NL4, please? NL4, this please. One? In the upstairs toilet.
Yeah.
or N4 will do because I can remember.
It would be foolish not to trap one's toilet.
Okay. And then pick 2 rooms of your choice to recall whether they have traps in.
Okay.
Which I guess could include the other toilet.
I mean, that's true. Just thinking in terms of what's near us.
Mm-hmm.
What about the guest bedroom?
Okay, 1 or 2?
2.
Guest bedroom 2. Roll for effect, please.
Okay. 4.
Lethal.
Excellent.
6.
Hard to operate without hands.
Okay.
Yay!
So please add L6 to guest bedroom 2 and your final room choice.
L6. Squinty! okay, what other rooms have we established there are things in right now? Like the hall downstairs, right?
You can probably hear the roaring from the master bedroom.
Okay, yeah, the master bedroom then.
Okay, roll for the master bedroom, please.
8.
Extra lethal.
Cool.
And 6.
Hard without hands.
Okay.
Oh, so please put E6. Or X6.
Okay. X.
For extreme.
Yeah. Yes.
Extreme.
So,
your master.
So if you want to shout any advice at your savior cat.
Yeah, I'm down.
Where to go, this is the time.
Okay, quickly, we have to activate the countermeasures. And I like
Point. Your hoof point.
Yeah. Okay. I will either point with a hoof or my nose or something.
Yeah.
To the place where the activation mechanism is.
Okay. Can I tell?
The activation mechanism in this room.
There's a thing coming through the window. So
yeah,
in this room. Immediately,
I mean, you've kind of used your action, so
yeah,
I
can do it next turn.
You can activate this on your turn.
Oh, great!
Right now it's Stormy just figuring out where to go.
Oh, right.
Which room? So.
I mean, all the other ones are hard to operate without hands, right?
Yeah, but I'm also
right there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, you're still in the master bedroom, aren't you?
At the door, sort of.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
So,
I'll say to Stormy to for now get to the guest bedroom. There are better places to hide there.
Okay.
Okay, you hear a whinging to indicate there's places to hide in the bedroom.
Yeah.
In the guest bedroom.
Cool. Yeah, I don't necessarily want to hide. I want to be up high so that they cannot reach me, but maybe I could hit them.
Yeah. What I was actually thinking is, guest bedroom probably has, curtains. There's a curtain rail you can go across.
That's true.
The guest bedroom, as GG says this, though, you remember, there's, armoires that you can get on top of.
Cool, I'll do that.
So, you get to the guest bedroom too. awesome. Which we also remember has a lethal trap in.
Yeah, a lethal category 6 trap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which brings us to actually double G.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will stagger to my feet.
Okay.
Hooves. Yes. Hooves,
using up 30 feet of your 60 foot movement.
Okay.
Hooray!
With that remaining 30 feet,
mm.
can I get to the master bedroom?
Just.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. Do I, like, if I am just getting to the master bedroom, is it possible for me to see or attack the creature that's in there?
You'll be able to see it. You can hold an action to attack it if it gets close enough.
Sure,
it's
okay, I'm gonna do right that. The door. And I will just, yeah, again, as a free action, say, Squiddy, activate the traps!
Your master, what do you require?
The master bedroom traps!
Squiddy doesn't know where that is. You'll have to tell him where.
But you are, I will say as a free action, you can point where the trap activation thing is.
Yeah. Pull the lever!
Did you require something, master?
The lever!
A tragedy.
Okay.
For the love of Equus, the lever!
Alright, so you make your way into...
It's so dumb.
So you race down the hallway, and you see this horrifying, like, rolling monster readying yourself. The rolling... Like, the more beast actually goes next.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing seeing food, mm-hmm. essentially, it goes... and rolls towards you to attack. So you may now make your attack.
Okay, here we go. Come on. All right, that is an 18 to hit.
That hits. Roll damage.
Okay. That is 8 bludgeoning damage.
Zamf!
I love this horse so much.
With a further 18 cold damage.
Right. So this. It's 24 damage.
I've only got one of those left.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forget everything is one use, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shit.
Kick into its face,
leave it, and with the blam sound effect, you leave like a frozen hoof print in its sort of center, which like leaving blackened, frozen flesh as it recoils. And then tries to roll into you to eat you.
Okay.
Okay, let's make an attack. That is a hit.
Oh dear.
You do, without that. Without that. How many hit points have you got?
If we lose?
That's what a good question.
I've got 11.
Now you have 8.
Okay.
Sorry, no, I should say, now you have 3.
Oh, okay. That's very different.
Those are not the same.
It took away 8. As it bite, as it just starts to like trying to clamber onto you and eat you. Like,
horse's glorious death is still on the cards.
Oh, it's very much still on the cards. Alright. The
I need to get either the armor or one of these cool gadgets.
I'm just gonna say, if you kill Celestia's cat, like she's never recovering. Like, just so you're aware.
Okay, that brings us to the fat guy, like the little like horribly the horribly bloaty demon,
mm-hmm.
is gonna come up from below. Stop sticking around there. Get up there and chase him. And he's going to kind of like pound his way up the stairs surrounded by buzzing flies. And I guess, yeah, the people he can see is the horse and half a butler. So he's going to point over there. And I guess he can get to you, but not attack you. Okay. This leader kind of character waddles up to you with carrying the huge club now, surrounded by flies. Metallic horse flies start biting and stinging.
Ooh.
Squinty!
Am I going to get an attack of opportunity if I move?
So long as you don't leave the threat range of the slathering demon thing, which I guess you probably can't, I think you're all right.
I now know where the lever is.
Yes.
At least.
The lever is within 5 feet of you.
Your umbrella, young master!
Yes!
Crap, his umbrella.
So this is, this was... rank six. Six or...
Extremely lethal, six.
Okay, half some of that hands to operate, but not in seven or eight, which were the hard for someone with hands to operate.
Wow.
mechanism. Okay. Ah, right, so...
It's a mess.
so a mess. Specifically the wording here is extra lethal with a weird theme. So,
extra lethal with a weird theme is a
so
lovely.
So, can
word.
I please ask you to name? Double G, can I ask you to name one of the villains that Mothman has faced or defeated during his time?
Okay, this would be.
Think back to the good old days.
Yeah. This would be like the time we took down Venomous Jenny.
Okay, Venomous Jenny. Right, this is going to get...
That's not a type of plant. This ivy is a plant as well as an egg.
Out of curiosity, what else is a jenny? Because I feel like it's a...
spinning jenny?
Yeah, it's a machine making fabric.
Yeah, okay, so... as you pull the lever, I'm actually just going to look up an image of a spinning jenny for comparison.
I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. I have done learning.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically a multi-spin.
For weaving, I think.
Yeah,
I'm just picturing jenny what all of us used to work with, but spinning. I don't have a better image than that. And being lethal.
Yeah.
Spinning with knives.
a poison jenny's a trap taken from poison jenny emerges.
Venomous Jenny.
Venomous Jenny emerges.
Which is better because poison, you have to eat it.
Yeah. Yes. Venomous Jenny traps emerge from the walls, which are a series of spindles and spinning wheels with lashing sort of. it's like cotton threads that begin scything through everything nearby. Cool. Okay, well. The good news is, I guess the good news for you, Gigi, specifically, is that you know this is coming and you know how to avoid it. So can I ask you to make...
You didn't even get quite into the room, did you? You were right on the doorway.
No, in the doorway.
No, that's...
is it still too much?
No, sorry, we are into the extra lethal trap territory.
Right, yeah. Fair enough.
Can I...
I killed the horse.
I'm sorry, if you kill the horse, it'll be hilarious to be
okay,
honest.
Okay, so you get advantage on your dex save.
Okay.
Nap time, young master.
Not terrible. Okay, that's an 18.
Oh, thank fuck. Alright, so I'm going to give you a choice of where you would like to flee to safety. You can either leap back into the hall, or... the deadly threads of razor sharp wire circulating around the spinning wheel start to come out of the walls and floor, you can instead spring forwards and tumble down the secret passageway to the dining room.
Oh yeah, excellent.
What would you like?
I think, well, if I go back into the hallway, I've still got the big guy to deal with, haven't I?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I think I need to create distance, so I'm going to go down the slippery slope to the dining room.
Okay. You trample out the way, careen through the secret passageway, and slide down the greased floor into the dining room. In the process, you land on, let's see, where do you land? Okay! As you crash out into the dining room, you also dislodge one of the hidden gadgets. You recognize the kind of spring onto the floor with you. The razor wire blinders.
Excellent. Yay. Okay, I will pick them up in my mouth.
Okay, you've got them in your mouth. Yep, you've got a the.
It's actually very Mothman of you to not be able to do anything without gadgets.
Yeah.
So you've got the decorative razor wire blinders, presumably also from the encounter with fucking Venomous Jenny.
I'm here!
Squinty, just on the off chance, can you please also roll a dex save?
It's a natural
20. No way. Squinty,
somehow... It's a 25.
You managed to avoid being hit by any of the...
I'm not trying, but it does happen.
You just happen to be standing in a safe place, which you build when you activate the thing. Yeah, so.
You wouldn't make it so that activating the trap kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. Since you pulled the lever, I went for extra lethal here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so this not only hits the bedroom, but goes out into the hallway and anything adjoining as well. And okay. It's going to remain active for a couple of rounds. So, effectively, the master bedroom... and the area of the hallway kind of in front of it are now death zones. Filled with rapidly spinning razor sharp wire.
They're at least visibly death zones. Quite helpful.
Can I please ask you to roll 10d6 for me?
Three, four, five, six.
All right. This is going to be split between poison and slashing damage.
10 and 20. 30. 40.
Okay.
40 slashing damage. Decent.
Yeah, okay. So the the horrifying monster.
Oh, yeah.
The horrifying mouth monster is literally cut to ribbons.
Yay!
Hooray!
And as the
almost a horse,
as the angry big fat demon with the clubs is coming in, ready to, he's like, wait, what the fuck? and is both slashed and poisoned, bound up. There's a moment where he's comedically like bound up in string, like the daytime TV Batman cartoon, like the classic Batman cartoon.
Yes, when they capture somebody.
Yeah, and then the strings tighten and go through him, and he's also sliced to ribbons.
Oh no!
This
is not daytime TV anymore.
Oh yeah. It took a lot to take down Venomous Jenny.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would like my legs to go to where the horse is, because the horse did cry for Squinty.
This is true. The horse cried for Squinty where the horse was, so please
make... Not when you landed? Like, you went down the secret passageway and then...
No, called out... Did you...
When
I picked up the...
Yes, the blinders.
I was then trying to call to you with them in my mouth, so I was like... Roll
your wisdom check to see if you can.
Oh, okay, 16.
Okay, you judge it correctly. Your legs speed forwards and are now next to the horse.
Room.
So which means that you are in the drawing room.
Oh, drawing room.
Dining room. Despite that being bizarrely the other side of the house to the master bedroom. Like, I can't actually see how you could possibly how that's
there's a hairpin bend.
Yeah. Especially if you're fitting a horse through it.
Yeah.
But
very
you
dexterous
do.
Horse chest. Yeah. What are you implying?
This house has really thick walls.
Yeah.
Wide enough to accommodate all these horse traversable secret passageways.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, that's the big demon taken care of. That's the big boss demon taken care of.
Excellent.
More.
Oh, he's just...
He did.
Chunks.
He instruct the others to get upstairs.
He did. which means that they're going to be coming up the stairs in time for the Venus cat trap to burst into the scene. And I'm going to say that the little imps and the Venus cat trap very quickly end up in a fight. But it's the Venus cat trap, so two of the demons are just immediately eaten by the mouths. It bites into them. You hear a sort of weird sucking sound as it grabs them in two of its fire petals. And then releases them in, like, desiccated metallic skins. Just, drop outwards. So, Stormy. You made it into guest bedroom 2.
I'm in there, yeah.
Yeah, you can now see a huge crowd of little demon figures outside. As well as that fuck-off horrifying... horrifying plant thing that tried to eat you.
Yes.
Within the room, within the room, can you roll me a perception check, please?
I can do that. Perception. Hang on. That's a 16. A 16?
Okay.
That's what I said.
Which one of those?
A 16.
So, first of all, there is another of the healing potions that's tucked under the bed.
Oh my god, so Can has.
You can use a bonus action just to take
I
that.
Want that, please.
44
can has
plus
healing
4.
Potion.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I'll roll it between.
And the other thing you notice is also hidden under the bed. There is what appears hidden under the bed. No, I'm actually going to say for positioning, hidden in the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
You can see there is some sort of like pointy cone that can be kind of directed or pushed, and underneath it is some sort of little lever that was obviously designed for someone who could grab and pull levers.
Ah, that looks fun.
So yes.
That looks fun to pounce at.
It does look fun to pounce at. I guess, pouncing at it, in what direction are you going to point the cone when you try and pounce at it?
What direction is it currently pointing?
It's currently pointing just like dead ahead.
At the doorway?
Not at the dead doorway, just at the wall, at the opposite wall. But it could be pointed towards the doorway.
Am I clever enough to point it at the doorway?
It depends. If you smash and lap up the potion first under the bed and then bounce it, that would put it towards the doorway. Okay.
Yeah.
So this
I'm going for the lever.
Yeah, yeah. You go for the lever. So this is, I guess, kind of a dex check. To operate this lever.
15.
That's actually enough.
Yay! No way.
Okay.
That's exciting.
You activate the lethal trap.
Yay!
Going in from under it, and as you kind of tap at it, your claws like latch over it and pull the lever down. Okay, can I have another classic Mothman villain, please?
Okay, the Chortler.
Absolutely.
Well, it's the Chortler, so this is going to be... I'm trying to think about how the fuck I'm going to justify this one. Because I know what I want this to do. All right.
Barking dog.
Okay, so... there is basically... a big old ball.
A ball?
A bright colourful. I'm going to say, just for fun, a red. It's a bright red Santa-style rubber ball that bounds out of this thing, and it
sounds
bounces
fun.
Along mm-hmm. into the hallway. Mm-hmm. And as it goes like.
That's terrible.
And
I hate it. That's awful.
Rolls into the center of the demons and the shambling creature.
Why does it sound like Jeffrey?
Is Jeffrey secretly a Mothman villain?
You can see there is painted onto the bright red ball the image of a grinning and laughing monkey.
Oh, gosh.
Jeffrey's secretly a Mothman villain.
And then you hear sort of... As you see, the little ball seems to tick and turn.
I get back under the bed.
Get back under the bed. The ball splits into, I guess... Really, and you don't see what happens next, but you do hear the sound. Can you please roll? I'm gonna use the standard lethal rolls here, so 6d8.
Wow, okay,
damage, please.
2, 3, 4.
Oops, sorry,
5, 6. Okay, 4, 7, 8. 9, 14, 19.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, all the little imps are immediately killed.
Hooray!
You see, you hear clinking sounds as their tiny silvery bodies are thrown in every direction.
Hooray!
Also, the sound of the chandelier crashing. There's not really a roar, but like the weird bestial creaking of the fucking Venus cat plant. I think that's the end of your turn.
Yes, I had a lovely turn. I'm going to stay under the bed now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, at this point, Gigi and Squinty, you're kind of next to each other in the turn order because those guys are dead. Gigi, you slide out of the dining room with the razor wire blinders, like held in your chomped in your mouth. Shanti, what? No, Squinty's legs sprint into being next to you, and you hear the sound of the familiar mocking monkey laughter sound. A sound from above.
The chortler, I knew it.
Followed by the explosion. And the...
So dumb.
And the sort of plantoid screeching. Yeah, I mean, you... Like, I'll tell you what you can see from up there if you leave the drawing room. If you leave the dining room.
Okay.
Actually, you're in the dining room. Roll 2d8s for me, please.
2d8s. Okay, that is and
I've got a
got
d8.
It, got it, got it, got it. Okay, that is a total of 4.
Sorry, 1 and then the other, please.
Oh, okay, 3 and 1.
Okay, well, on the downside is the room in the trap in here is non-lethal, but on the upside, it's a pressure plate that you can operate.
Excellent. Okay,
it could be worse.
Are there any intruders in here currently? That
currently, no. But if anything either comes into this room or comes into onto the downstairs hallway via the stairs or falling into the hallway, you will be able to. It can affect them so long as you kind of like hold an action to operate it.
Okay, I'm going to use some of my movement in order to just move across the room and have a look out of the door into the hallway and also into the kitchen.
At this point, the good news is all the little creatures that were in the hall that were in the hallway went upstairs and died, as did the ones in the as did the ones in the kitchen. You do see one of the you do see a second one of those rolling monsters through the kitchen door roll into the hedge maze. You don't know how well that's going to go for it.
Okay.
seems like without direction, those things ain't smart.
No.
But the But yeah, that's the. But also, I guess it's the kitchen. So roll another two d8s. One in order, please.
Okay, two
non-lethal
and six
requires hands to operate.
Right. Okay.
Fair.
Okay. Well, if there doesn't seem to be any chance of like imminently being interrupted, I'm going to try and get back to where my companions are. I assume now the stairs are blocked because of everything that's happening.
The stairs are blocked by the vine monster, so you could try. So you could get past it, but it will provoke an attack of opportunity.
Okay, no, I'm not going to do that. What I will do then is I will. Actually, because I don't think I have the space to do anything else this action, I'm going to dash.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go through the kitchen into Squinty's flat and then use the secret passage from Squinty's flat up to the library.
You can do that. Which is... Remind me what room Squinty's flat and that's... is it room 13 and room 9?
Yes.
Just going to check your notes to see if any of your additional tools are in there. They're not, unfortunately. But you are able to successfully get up to the library. Honestly, you've got like 60 feet of movement, so it's what?
Well, no, it's a dash, so I've got 120.
No, that's one thing. You have a base of 60 feet, yeah. So 20. No, you can get to the library in one move.
Oh, without dashing.
You're a horse.
Oh, yeah. I'm a horse. Okay. Do I see anybody in the library?
Let's see if you see anyone in the library. You don't see anyone. I'm going to say there is. Yeah. So yeah, you can see one little imp currently, like cowering just by the door, away, like hoping that the vine monster doesn't see it. But since you're in the library, roll 2d8s, please.
Okay. Two.
Okay.
And six.
Non-lethal, hard without hands.
Right, okay. I am going to attempt to kick the imp out into the hallway where it's getting chomped on by its fellows.
Sure. You have your choice as to whether you use an ice shoe or not.
I'm not, but I am going to use the trampling attack because I've got the run-up.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so this is a... 24 to hit, yeah. That's...
You don't need the trampling attack. You kick this thing straight into the vine creature, which reaches out its one remaining flower maw and just snaps it up, crunches it, and lets it go.
Excellent.
Nam, 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 nam.
Okay, Squinty.
Oh,
you're
no.
Currently your head is in the master bedroom. Your legs are in the dining room.
And the trap's still going.
The trap
it?
Is still going. So like anything, and it's turned the master bedroom and the area in front of the hallway into a fucking death zone.
I will just sink through the floor.
Okay.
Into the lounge.
Directly underneath would
is
be
it?
The
no,
ballroom.
No, I can't look at maps and understand them.
You are so you sink through the floor and you're now in the ballroom.
And anyone in there?
Is there anyone left in there? No. Well, actually, yes. You see a single little imp creature like in the process of fleeing through the window.
I mean, do I know if there are any traps in here?
Roll an intelligence check.
That's a 4.
You don't know if there are any. Roll a d20 to see if you accidentally activate one.
9.
You do not.
Oh dear.
There is... I'm trying to think about what...
I guess I will try and get my legs to come back to me at this point.
Yeah, you can call out...
Whoa, legs!
All right, legs. Roll a wisdom check.
10.
That's enough. 10 is the DC.
I will use my action to reconnect myself.
Yeah. You run into yourself and sort of grab hold of your legs and pop them onto your hips, and you are whole again.
Must dress for dinner.
Squinty's playing like a whole different one shot to everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see it from Squinty's perspective, though. I want to see that story.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like a POV of, like, you know, he's watered the plant, so now he's going to go make
dinner.
I made
the bubble bath. I fetched the umbrella for the young master. And now we must dress for dinner.
Oh gosh, I mean, like, I guess the flower, like, the flower monster then is gonna need to pick a direction. There's two directions it could go in, really, at this point, because there's the imp that just got kicked into it, or there is the the source of that ball that blew up. So let's. Okay, ball that blew up it is.
Hmm.
It can't shamble. I don't think it can quite shamble into the guest bedroom. No, it can shamble into the guest bedroom and attack. You do have cover because you are hiding under the bed. So it's going to attack you.
It's got, you've got the lightning thing.
Yeah.
I do, yes. It gets disadvantage. Cool. Because that has reloaded.
I mean, just in case it rolled a one there. Seems two. Right. Well, the disadvantage does at least mean that the second attempted attack wasn't a crit.
Ooh.
But it does manage to snare onto you. How's your?
I had some delicious healing potion.
Yeah. How's your hit points looking?
22.
Okay, that's particularly good because you do end up taking 11 points of combined acid and crushing damage.
Mm.
And roll a strength save, please.
Strength save. I hate this cat plant. It's rubbish. One.
Oh,
okay.
No.
You are picked up and ensnared by the one remaining bud. Okay. On the demon's turn, the last little demon is going to flee out the door.
Valid.
Your master, your raincoat.
Oh, so wholesome.
It looks back, grabs a coat off a hanger, and takes it with it out the window.
Out the window.
which brings us to Stormy. Stormy, you are currently inside the vine. Horrifyingly, it turns out the flower doesn't just like stop here. The inner part of it starts to expand into like a sort of esophagus.
No,
and
no,
starts trying to just swallow you down into the center of the plant.
I don't think that's what happened. No, that's not what happened.
I think it sings a little song instead. That's what I think happened.
Okay, what would you like to do?
I would like to. Actually, you're about to do something exciting, aren't you? I shouldn't call for you.
No, I'm in the ballroom. I don't know where anything is.
You've just
told
a demon to get its coat. I can definitely call for you. Like, you're not doing anything.
I'm doing absolutely nothing.
I'm going to call for Squinty.
And
then I'm going to bite the plant.
Okay, make your bite attacks, please. You got two.
Yes. So, first bite attack is 15.
That just hits.
Excellent. Should I do damage first, or should I do
the
other one?
Roll the second one, just for the sake of it.
11.
That does not hit.
But the first one does.
The first one does.
That's 8 plus, what is it? 12.
Okay. You gnaw at it, you begin, you start to try and force your way out, but it's not quite enough to make your escape. At least not on this round. The, I guess, Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
You can see across the hall that the creature has trundled off into guest bedroom 2.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see through the open doorways that it has managed to grab. Oh, actually, you can see that it's now holding up a very cat shaped bulge.
Uh-oh.
And trying to swallow it.
Okay.
The cat is making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
As well, because
sort of
the cat
muffled.
Would in this situation.
Yeah.
Don't worry, my feline companion, I'll save you!
The horse whinnies. Cool, double G, what do you want to do?
Okay, it's a shame I don't have anyone to fit this gadget to me, but for now, I am going to...
I mean, if you want to get in position and, like, wait for... and hold your action until...
No, I think I've got to take down this thing as best I can, because otherwise it will swallow my only ally right there, right now. Okay, I am going to take a run-up and make an attack. Okay, that is a 19 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, for...
And knocks it prone.
Great, yeah. Cool. That's 12 bludgeoning damage. I will take... Actually, no, I'll roll the last of my
ice
shoe damage. Yeah. That is... At 23 cold damage.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, finish it.
I sort of rear up, hit the thing, and then the ice starts to peel its way up the outside of the sort of the bell petals kind of area, and then I turn around, give it the double barrels, and it just shatters, leaving Stormy deposited hopefully in the middle of it. Crack!
Smack!
Biff!
Yeah.
The plant is utterly shredded. It's smashed to pieces. Stormy rolls out like pieces of digestive acid, like crystallizing into little bits of snow, and flecking off off her fur. The second group of extra dimensional invaders, effectively, it was just one of its own. The Venus cat trap is no more. There's a moment as the dust settles and the frozen bits of plant.
It's like the time we took down the puffin.
Young master! Luncheon is being served on the lawn!
And what do you serve them for luncheon?
Oh, natural 20!
Oh my god, we actually get a good lunch?
I serve them cat food.
Yay!
Okay, a gorgeous repast of cat food and oats and sugar cubes.
Excellent.
Served.
Best day ever.
Served. both the day, Celestia's pet, the Mothman's trusted companion, some of the house,
at least some
of Wayne Manor are preserved.
Hey. How's he gonna get back and have to fight a horse?
A really well armed horse, potentially, as well.
Yeah.
So just for you,
like you say, final boss of the campaign.
Just for you folks at home, the full layout of gadgets. So it was mostly the ice shoes that got used.
Yeah.
There were
some really good and weird ones.
There was also the moth mobiles.
Yes,
Pair of message stones.
Yep.
That could be used to communicate freely in the range of the mansion.
Yep.
The hypno gas nose bag.
Yeah, basically crunch the special sugar cube and exhale some gas.
And it charms someone.
Yeah. The razor wire blinders, which I almost got to use.
Yeah, I think you got that. I think it was the hypnogas from the Quizzler.
Yes, the Quizzler. And I think then the Caltrop saddlebags must have been from the time that we faced down, like, Split Face.
Yeah, Split Face. And of course, there were the moth themed wither rockets.
Yeah,
which were left down in the stables, but were literally just literally just rockets. This, yeah. this is basically an explode a fireball.
Yeah.
like 120
foot
range.
We are
going
to have to fight a horse, though, aren't we?
We might have
or,
to fight a horse.
Or somehow make friends with it.
It depends, yeah. because it's
the
actually...
The horse thinks we're the villains.
It's actually a little while yet before the party returns.
It depends whether you go exploring. So, yeah. yeah, you might you so, might head off and make a life for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or chat with Stormy.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, it depends what else happens, because...
Actually, yeah, there is... Stormy might bring you round to the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is some time that passes before the party return, during which you have the opportunity exists for Double G the Wonder Horse and Stormy Darling to become if not boon companions, then at least you know friendly enough for Double G to rethink ambushing the party on site. Regardless. I mean, let's see what's they can. The hedge maze has been destroyed. The upstairs bathroom has been completely shattered. Just completely shattered.
Yeah.
The chandeliers are gone in the hallway. The master bedroom and the near end of the hallway are covered in razor damage from
yep.
just all the wires like slashing into everything and fucking up the furniture. There's the explosion on the near side of the upper hallway.
Oh yeah, they're saying that the guest bedroom.
Yeah, from the chortlers exploding mm-hmm. laughing laughter bomb. and a surprising amount of the cutlery has been stolen as well. It's I look forward to seeing how the hell the party react to that when they come back. But that's something we'll find out probably not next time, because I know what's coming next time.
Doing something else
next time. We might be a journey to the B team.
Yeah,
it's
been a while.
We'll find that out the time after that.
Maybe.
Flintlocks
yep.
and fireballs. Thank you all for playing in person.
Hey.
Thank you
Yay.
All for listening to this absolute bullshit. farewell from all of us here at Flintlocks and Fireballs. I can remember how the outro I've done for 194 episodes.
That's not that many times.
Yeah. Farewell from all of us here at Flintlocks and Fireballs. Fair seas and natural 20s.
It may be that I'm dead and gone, but at least my companion carries on. Those three, their hands may be with my blood red, but there's still hope, even though my parents are dead. So,
gather your muskets,
gather
your spears, we'll plunder the shores of Kelsenir. No kraken, storm, or spell we fear, so come and sail with us, my dear.
Jason improvised that. Jason just improvised that at the table.